Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call the elder of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven. So basically, James tried to tell us, all the people at that time, we come to pray and praise. So James, he highlight the prayers as the natural response for both suffering and joys. Prayer is just not like an emergency when you in need or something happened, and then, like an emergency prayer, like you go to the ICU last minute when you didn't feel well. But the constant connection to God. So what exactly is mean in the practical term? He said, when we are hurting, we cry out to God. When we are happy, we thanks him in praise. And when we are sick, we count on him or count on others to pray. And that's what James tried to communicate 1,000 years ago, and he tried to communicate to us today. So he points us to constant source of strength, prayer and faith in the community. I found this picture. In Google, and I thought it was very interesting. It's talking about a group of farmers in a drought-stricken area. So in that situation, they gather the people in the village together and pray for rain. Okay, if you had a chance to talk to Pastor Eugene, when he visited Ivory Coast, and Ivory Coast, any village is very, very dry. And we celebrate to open the new church over there in any village. And during the prayer, of course, the people pray for rain. And reality, the rain coming down and people so happy dancing in the rain. Okay, it's similar to this story here. So during that prayer, it's only one boy. Only one small boy, he brought the umbrella. Everybody prayed for rain, but it's only one boy bringing the umbrella. So the people ask why. He replied, I believe God will send rain. So what James tried to communicate, or this picture, or the story tried to communicate to us, when we pray with faith, not just general prayer. We believe God will do something. So this boy had true faith in prayer, and James said, the prayer offered in faith will save the sick. So if you're in any situation, or when you face any challenge in life, or you apply for college, or apply for a new job, or family member, didn't feeling well, had to go to the hospital, whatever. James reminded us we have to pray through faith. And that's what he tried to communicate. But another view you can think about, God doesn't need you to say fancy prayer, okay? He wants to start where you are. Okay, he doesn't need fancy word when you pray, because sometimes when I listen to prayer, they use so big word or fancy word. Even me, I don't understand what the prayer exactly it is. He just wants us to be honest in the prayer, honesty prayer. And prayer is our lifeline, not the last resort. as a human nature, when we face a situation or face a challenge in life, we run around, we try to figure out how to solve it, and finally we couldn't figure out, or we try so many things and we fail. And I say, oop, there's God. We need to come to him and pray. James telling the people way back, come to him first. Because the prayer, God will give you the wisdom. And from that wisdom, you know how to deal with the situation or the challenge. That's what he tried to communicate. But the strength or the source of strength doesn't stop at the personal prayer. James, he continued to talking about the spiritual weakness, or it can generate from sin. And spiritual weakness also need to be restored or healed. So if you had the Bible, we can read the next passage, chapter verse 16 to 18. He said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, then he prayed again, and the sky poured out rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The message, very simple, to confess our sin to one another and pray. To confess our sin to one another and to pray for one another. Each one of us in this room, we need to pray for each other. We find strength when we are real with each other, honest to each other when we face a challenge in life. Okay? And when we stop pretending, James talking about here, and share our weakness, the healing or the restoration of the spirit can begin. Very important. Sometimes we forgot about the key principle or the key passage from verse 16 to 18. So we talk about restoration, but the first step of restoration, James, he's talking about confession. Confession isn't just a vertical to God. It's good when you confess your sin to God, vertical, okay? But it's also important with the horizontal to one another. So sometimes, daily life, we make some mistake with our friends, with the spouses, okay? Talk to each other. Confess our weakness to each other. Now, horizontal. Of course, you pray to God. That's a vertical. That's good. But if you just stop at the pray to God, forgiveness or restoration, it's not enough. Horizontal. Okay? We understand we are human. Human make mistakes. Especially make mistake, or sometimes we say something we should not say with our loved one. Okay? And suddenly the Holy Spirit, click, 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 something not right. And you pray to God, God forgive you. But the next step, you need to talk to each other. Okay? To reconcile. Don't keep something in you, and it may have a long-term impact with your loved one, with your parent, your spouse, or even with your children. Okay? Very, very important. And the prayer from community is also very, very important, you know, in the church. It's very, very important. But in the church, if you pray up here, pray in general. Okay. Okay. But of course, we have prayer meeting with the icon is the prayer warrior. And then we pray something is very, very serious. But all the prayer warrior, they, you know, keep very, very confident until the day they die. Okay? To make sure the confidence and all of that, it just keep within the prayer warrior. And we have the prayer meeting every day from the prayer warrior. You know, we talk a lot of issue and we pray. Okay? By the end of this year, a few more days, we would pray constantly every day for 2,104. So we may have like New Year gathering this team together and just celebrate the consistent, yeah, 5 years and 3/4 a year, 2,000. I just count 2,100 something day, 365 days a year. If leap year 366, we didn't miss a day yet. Okay? We praise the Lord for that. I believe in prayer because of the prayer. It gives us the strength. Sometimes something you cannot talk. As a pastor, a lot of people, they share a lot of things to me. And I have to have the release. Basically, pray to God to release the pressure, okay, and feel happy and continue with the work. Remember that. So husband and wife, don't keep secret to each other. And if you're still in boyfriend, girlfriend, honest to each other. And the same thing with your children. Don't keep secret if that secret may impact the long-term relationship. Trust each other. Okay? And sometimes we feel vulnerable. Okay? I don't know about you, but me, even though I pray every day, but sometimes as a human weakness, I feel vulnerable in certain situations. And of course, I pray. And I share with 3 people I'm absolutely trust, and they pray with me to help me out. And of course, you know, I pray for other people, but we sigh in blood. keep everything quiet and confident. Why the prayer is so important? Okay. Back in 1940, this is a true story, and one of the villages in Scotland named Herbright. Okay, in Scotland, there's a 2 elder women, they're about 80 years old. The village is real bad. So they pray to God, and then they make a commitment to pray every day for that village. They pray the Lord will change the heart of the people in the village. And up to December the 7th, 1949, it's been the prayer consistently for 9 years. Don't miss a day, okay? And suddenly the whole village come together. Nobody called. They kneel down. They pray except Jesus Christ. You can study about this case. And from this village, the revival spread on over Scotland. And from Scotland, the revival spread on over Europe. So before, when we have the everyday prayer, we pray every week, once a week, for 5 or 6 years. And when we read the story like this, so say if, start with the 2 women, they pray every day, and they pray for 9 years or 10 years. How about our church, the group of people gather and pray every year? We pray for God, for, of course, directly to God, But we pray for the city of Houston. Okay? One day, the revival will come. Houston. And from Houston, it will spread to the state of Texas and the whole America. And we pray to Vietnam. The revival will come to Vietnam maybe 5 years, 10 years from now. Okay? And we pray for West Africa, start from Andy Village. Well, of course, for Africa, we just start like 3 or 4 years. Okay? Someday, the whole West Africa will come to Christ. Okay? And of course, we pray for individual person when we know they're in certain situation, and we pray for that. And of course, we pray for the church. Because I believe in the prayer. I believe God honor the prayer. And he honor the consistent prayer every day. Okay? And that's what we do. So you would find out the message is like this. Sometimes God calls the people, young or old. So I talked to the senior of the church. They said they're over 80. They cannot do anything. I said, well, way back. 80 years old, still young. So God called the young people, the middle-aged people, or even the senior people, start to pray. Okay? You would find out a lot of things. We couldn't do anything. All we can do is just pray. Set out the time. So what so my another advice like this. You know certain of your friends, or even the friend in this church, they in certain situation. You say, hey, I can pray for you. Start doing that. But make sure you have to be very, very honest, because the healing or the restoration require, I call it the light, not the darkness. Okay? And the light show through you through honesty. Okay? When you promise, you fulfill that promise. If you couldn't do it, they say you couldn't do it. God honor that. But when you say, I pray for you once a week, do it once a week. Okay? But if you promised, pray once a day, do once a day. God honor your commitment. Okay? But if you couldn't do it, you say, honestly, okay, I understand you. You want me to pray, but I couldn't do it. Honest. See, that's what I'm trying to communicate. So James, he reminded us we should not only pray for one another, but we also seek out to bring back those who have gone astray. And you see that a lot. And he wrote, my brothers and sisters, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and someone turn him back, let him know that the one who has turned a sinner from error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. So he tried to tell the people, or calm the people, for those who are wandering from the truth. What exactly the truth? He's talking about bring the people back to Jesus. And if you still remember the very, very basic Bible verse, okay, in the gospel, he talked about Jesus, he is what? Anybody remember? Jesus, he said, I am. Anybody remember? I am what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Life or light? Of which one? lifer. Okay, we'll make sure, because I heard the sound. I just want to make sure. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So the people go astray. It means they may have to believe something, but it's not the truth. And we have the responsibility, James said, pull them back. So if your friend, they are worship idol, or Buddha, or just whatever religion in the world, okay, what exactly do you think about him, that person? If you apply, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. How do you understand this verse when your friend, they worship idol, they worship something else, or they worship Buddha, or any, or Muhammad? So if you apply what Jesus said, combined with James, basically, do they have the belief? Yes. Do they worship? Yes. But it's not the truth. It's not the way, it's not the truth, it's not life. If you think that way, and then James said, the people may go astray from another belief system, you need to pull them back to the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. That's reason why you need to understand the human behavior about sin. You need to understand about God. He loved, He chose. And you need to understand about Jesus Christ, who He is and what He does. Who is Jesus? Because if you say, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. So who is Jesus? And what He did? So you can explain to the people. If not, and then you say, oh yeah, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they said, so who is Jesus? The Bible said, Jesus, He's God. He's 100% God, but He's 100% man. The book of John, in the beginning of the word in capital, talk about Jesus Christ. He with God, He is God. So the first verse of John to prove He is God. And when you get down to verse 14, He come down to earth, okay, live the perfect life. You know, John 14, He become man, 100% man. So He had both characteristics of God, but He also man, so He understand human nature and the sinfulness of man. So that reason why He can confidently tell the people He's the way, because He's God. The Almighty God, He create this universe. He appear, can be appear anywhere. And He knows everything. The big word, omniscient, omnipresent. But anyway, I talk about He's the powerful one. He creates everything and He understands everything. So He's the way, He's the truth. And He also said, by believing Him, John 3:16, you have everlasting life. So He's alive. Okay? So your responsibility to bring the people with misunderstanding of the way, the truth, and the life, put him back, introduce him to Jesus Christ, because He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So God wants us, beyond James, to be the agent of restoration, not just the people. So I meet the people, they talk, and I say, ooh. He go to Buddha and pray every day, every week. Okay? He have the heart worship, but it's wrong. God. Okay? He do a lot of charity work so he can earn the salvation. I say, oh, he misunderstand the truth. Okay? And he tried to work in order to earn salvation, and he worked on his life, and at the end of his life, he recognized he probably go through whatever the circle of life, couldn't get out, so had no life. And by introduce him to Jesus Christ, you introduce he's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So be watchful of those driven from God. 71% of the students, they go to church every day with their every week with their parents. 71% when they go to college, they lost faith. They lost faith in their belief. Okay? From schooling, the question you would ask, why it happened? Because the foundation in Jesus Christ not quite there yet. Not deep root in belief. They may memorize the Bible verse. Jesus Christ said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. But they don't understand why and what. Okay? They understand very, very abstract, so huge. But they don't understand when we said God is love. They don't understand it. When they ask, you ask them, they said, well, because my parents told me God is love. Because I go to Sunday school, I say, hey, don't do anything bad, because if you do something bad, you will be go to hell. So that very, very shallow. And when they go to college, they lost faith. Okay? So each one of us, when we read the Bible, when we believe what Bible said, we have to be able to explain why and how. You have to be able to debate and defend your faith. And that's what James tried to tell us. Okay? So be watchful from those written from God. Approach them with gentleness, not shame. And God delight to restore them when we be able to explain the faith. You have to be able to explain to the people, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or even be able to explain, why do you go to church? Why? Because the people will ask that. You have to be able to explain and defend what you do. I found this picture, probably already showed you before, about the drifting boat. Okay? Because if we do not have the anchor, firm anchor in Jesus Christ, you will be drifting. Okay? And one of the young women who left church after college were re-invited by their own friend. And probably this own friend explained to her why she believed in Jesus Christ to have everlasting life. And probably this young girl explained to her friend, the one who drift away, why she need to go to church. And be able to encourage this person rekindle with the faith. And now this girl leading the Bible study. What I'm trying to communicate to you through the book of James, you have to be able to debate, defend your faith. You have to be able to explain a very, very simple question. Why do you go to church? Not go shopping, but go to church. Why? And you have to be able to explain to your kid why you encourage your kid to go to church. Or encourage your kid, why do they need to believe in Jesus Christ to have everlasting life? Okay? So basically, who in your life need the invitation back to God? And James said, be bold, be gentle, and especially be loving. So James teaches us the strength of Christian life is not only our own ability, but through prayers, forgiveness, and community of faith. And the last message I want to share with you for the last Sunday of the year, like this. If you try to find the source of strength in yourself, you will fail. Okay? You can only find it in God. Through prayer, when you're suffering, you pray. When you are weak, remember you have the whole community of faith to help you through prayer. And sometimes you may feel stuck. I don't know about you. Through my life, I stuck quite a few times. Okay? I'm persistent in prayer. Okay? And through restoration, you can help other people, especially when they are drifting or they wandering about faith. Okay? So if you are tired or sometimes you feel like you lack of strength, or you have some sin you not confessed yet, okay? And sometimes when you pray, it seems like you're nowhere ineffective. Or your family, some member of family, they not come to Christ and you feel like you abandoned them. Talk to them a few times, get tired of them. Okay? James advises, return to the source of strength, Jesus Christ, through prayer. Okay? Let us stand up so we can if some of you listen to the broadcasting or some of you in this room, if you are searching for strength in the wrong place, this morning, the end of the year Sunday, Jesus Christ is inviting you today to come to Him. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And if you're in this situation, you can pray with me like this. Lord Jesus, I admit I am a sinner and I need your strength. Thank you for dying for me. I believe you rose again. I invite you into my life as my Savior and my King. Make me new. Help me walk in your strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But if some of you are a believer, but somehow lately you grow cold and distant, today is your day to reconnect. Don't rely on your strength. God ready to restore you, your passion, and renew your purpose. And you can pray like this. Lord, I've been drifting. I return to you now. Rekindle my fire in you. Restore my joys. Make me strong in you again. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all your children in this room, helping them, restoring them, give them spring the strength through that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.